Welcome to the Pyramid Effect Podcast.
Hey, and welcome back. This is Jenny.
And Shelly here.
We're back with the Pyramid Effect Podcast today, talking about breastfeeding after one. Ooh. Oh, creepers.
Why is this so taboo, friends?
To nurse your toddler. Crazy town. We missed last week. It was spring break for us, so we all did some relaxing and fun things this last week. My husband and I did our backyard. This is huge, people. We moved into a new build last June, and we've had a mud pit for our backyard. And finally, the weather cleared and the sun came out. Thank you, spring. And we have a beautiful new backyard.
And we are sitting out here and it is lovely.
Yes.
And the birds are chirping.
We are recording this podcast outside in the sun.
And it feels so good.
So good. What did you do, Shelly, for spring break?
I escaped to the mountains and we stayed at a lovely hotel and went swimming and hiking and played games. And it was pretty fun. It was good.
Yeah, it's always nice to get a break. So
yeah,
take a break sometimes, people. But now we are back at it, and we're really excited to talk to you about breastfeeding toddlers. And this topic has come up for us a few times, really. We hear
all
people talk about stuff like this a lot. But this particular topic is mostly because I was out to dinner with my family at this yummy taco place. We were having a margarita, and there was this group of women that were like, five or six women sitting behind me, and one of their friends walked in and she was pregnant and she came and had a seat. And so they automatically started talking about pregnancy and babies. And it's not like I was eavesdropping, but they had had a few margaritas. So they were talking really loud. And Kip had gone out with the kids and was playing out in the little courtyard. And so it was just kind of me. So, okay, I was eavesdropping kind of on accident.
It's fine.
Yeah. But they started talking about breastfeeding, which is, you know, everybody is welcome to their opinion on breastfeeding. I don't want you to get us wrong as we're talking about this. However, my opinion was not the same as theirs, which again is okay. But what they were talking about is really what interested me and made me wonder, why is this the majority opinion for most women? And it sounded like maybe most of them did not have children or had not even experienced a birth or a nursing. However, again, with the however, yeah. I don't know what their situations were, but they started talking about breastfeeding older babies. They were talking about a friend they had that had a baby that turned one a couple weeks ago and how disgusting they thought it was that she was nursing the baby at the birthday party. And to me, it was like kind of shocking being a person who has four children. My oldest is 11. My youngest is 5. I had nursed for 10 years straight before finally weaning. Well, my daughter weaned herself right about 5.
But and she still does.
She'll still nurse. I don't have milk anymore, but she'll still sometimes say, I want a booby or I want to nurse, which is fine with me. But I just thought, wow, I wonder where this concept comes from. Why is it gross to nurse a one-year-old? And who decided that magically, when a one-year-old turns one, they no longer need the comfort or health benefits of breastfeeding?
That they're all of a sudden grown up. It's 12-month-old, and now you don't nurse your mommy anymore because you are too big. And what is the fear, and why is it so, the word I guess would be disgusting. Why would it be disgusting to feed your child and feed your baby?
It really is an interesting conversation because people, again, have their opinions and, you know, they maybe are inundated with people who tell them it's gross. Maybe they have suffered something in their past that causes them to feel like their body is not
worthy,
or perhaps it's scary to be that vulnerable. I'm not sure the answer. We don't, you know, this show is different than ones we've done in the past. This is more of just a discussion forum about this and with our opinions as people that have breastfed for a really long time and breastfed older children. I, again, just mentioned I breastfeed my 5-year-old.
And maybe the fear is being that vulnerable with a child. And same as Jenny, Jenny has been a huge, amazing support in my breastfeeding journey. And I have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a now 5-year-old, almost 5 actually, not quite yet. And I still nurse him. And I know when I say this to people, people look at me sometimes in shock, sometimes in disgust, or sometimes in pure judgment. And I am the type of person that I'm very open and I am okay with sharing my story and I'm okay with standing up for myself. And it is interesting because I also teach a baby and me yoga class, and the mommies, I said that and I felt very judged even by my students in my class. And I had to just let that go and say, you know, this is my journey and my son, and he is the most amazing, independent, crazy pants. And it's been a pretty incredible journey.
It definitely is a journey, and everybody is welcome to pick their journey. And so sometimes it does feel like, I noticed we both said disgust at the same time, because we have been in a place where we've had people staring at us, giving us looks, making us feel uncomfortable for making the decisions we've made based on our children and what we think is best for them. But knowing that, like, we don't think that if you don't do what we do, that you're wrong. And so sometimes it does feel like people, you know, on the opposite side of the fence are judging you. So I think there's a little lesson in that, just as we're discussing this, that, you know, maybe we're feeling judged, but maybe those people are feeling judged by us, and really putting it out there that this is really a personal decision that should be respected as a personal decision. And, you know, we can all be more aware of thinking about people and understanding that we don't know everybody's situation. Or we stories. Don't know why or how people do things always. We don't have the whole story. And so just kind of being in that place and seeing things in a non-judgmental kind of frame is really helpful, I think.
Yes.
I also, it's funny, we went out to eat a few times during spring break because we were working so hard on our yard. It would get dark and our kids were starving and we're like, oh my God, we don't have food. Let's go get dinner. So we went out to eat this other night to another delicious restaurant, and there was this woman and her husband, and they had a little boy who must have been two and a half, super cute, and she nursed him at the table without a cover. And I wanted to, like, fist bump her because I was like...
Did you not?
I almost did, but she... I didn't, like... It was, like, that fine line between I don't know if she wanted the attention or if it might have supported her a little bit, and my gut said don't do it, so okay. I think maybe not was the right thing. But there was a... It's a chop house where there's people... A lot of men in there. A lot of different people, but a lot of men. They have, like, the best beers in town, so everybody goes there. And there were, like, three tables of two men sitting all around her.
I love her.
And I saw, yeah, she did not care. Oh, she did her thing, and she nursed her baby because he needed it. And it was so sweet, and I was really proud of her. And I thought for a second, you know, good for her, because I remember when I had Kelton, my oldest, who's now 11, he was really sick, and he was in the hospital. He was taken from me right at birth. He was on a ventilator for... 2 weeks. He was on oxygen for like 3 or 4 months. He had blood infection. He was defibrillated. I mean, we had a lot of hard times when he was born, and they told me he's not going to nurse. Don't expect to be able to nurse him because he had been on a feeding tube. And so I was told by the nurses in a loving way not to feel bad about myself, not to get my hopes up because it probably wasn't going to happen. And somewhere in my mind and in my heart, I knew that it wasn't up to them. And if he could suck a nipple from a bottle, then he could suck my boob. Like, that's what I kept thinking. And I had, again, no experience. He's my first birth. And so I just decided that it was going to work. And it ended up working. He was 3 weeks old, and I put him on breast, and he latched on. And they were all astonished and excited. And I was like, I already knew this was going to happen.
Jenny was amazing, you guys, because she would pump all the time. And she would go and sit by him in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care
every
unit.
Every 2 hours, because I would have been doing it if he wasn't in his little container.
I think you had the will. Your mind was...
Oh, for sure. Determined. I had the mindset, like, I was like, this is going to happen. But the point of this story is that I was a new mom. I was new to breastfeeding. We got out of the hospital when he's about a month old. And I remember we went out for the first time to a restaurant with him. And it was, like, really exciting to go out with our new little family. And he was hungry about an hour in. And I had packed. This is so bizarre for me to think about this now, too. But because people, even people in my family, honestly, and close friends, made it somehow, like, kind of inappropriate or gross to breastfeed in public. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was just more of, like, culturally. And I know since I've had him, there's been a rise in women standing up and saying, like, no, we're going to breastfeed uncovered where we want. We're feeding our baby the same as you're feeding your baby with a bottle. And again, this is not like a a force pull between women that breastfeed and women that bottle feed. No. It's not like that. It's more of, if your choice is to breastfeed, you should be free to breastfeed wherever and whenever is necessary, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't feel comfortable, and I had this bottle of formula, and I'm sitting at the restaurant, my baby's crying, and I also had this really weird feeling like, I don't want to give him formula. I have his milk that he's used to. I don't want to upset his stomach. And so I literally was like sweating, and I pulled out this like rolled up nursing cover that I had, and I was like, I'm gonna do it, and I pulled it out, and good I job. Put it on me, and I breastfed him in the restaurant,
and that
it
was huge
for me, because I was terrified of and all the much, judgment of the yes. people. I mean, it was, and he totally just nursed, and then I was like, wow, he's just hungry, he's eating, it's just fine. Like us. And he, I mean, even then he was covered, and it's so funny that I had that perspective. And it didn't take me long to drop that and be like, oh, boobs all day, wherever you need them. Like, it didn't matter.
So that just tells me that there's so much unneeded anxiety around breastfeeding and even parenting and being an early mom. And this reminds me of our dear and departed, our Gigi, who passed away this last year. And I will always remember her. She was the biggest light, this hilarious crack up everywhere. And so she shared with us that back in her days, it was only poor yucky women would nurse their babies.
Oh yeah, it was that stigma in the 50s.
And it was a really bad thing. And so she raised our mom and her children, her five kids, on, they called it pet milk, and it was Cairo syrup.
It is pet milk. It's evaporated pet milk with Cairo syrup.
With Cairo syrup. And that's what she did, because she had fear of being judged. And she was this woman, she passed away of breast cancer with just giant huge boobies that I am sure she had so much milk she could have saved, so much money. But back then there was this huge fear of judgment, and it's pretty incredible to see the evolution of how we have came, and it's still, judgment is a huge thing, but now it is more of a societal norm to nurse your babies.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and people have their reasons for doing things, and sometimes people can't nurse, and sometimes people don't want to nurse, and sometimes it doesn't work, and all of those things, again, are a choice. And so it's important to know that we support anybody's choice. But that does bring me to talking about the support.
Yes.
And I think, do women even get the support? And I think that's half the battle. And I've known plenty of women who have had regrets about not breastfeeding because they didn't have the support. And it's almost like this teeter-totter that is way lopsided that enables women to not do the thing, not breastfeed, not do it because it's too hard, because it hurts, because it takes time, because it's all of these things that can be really unpleasant. I've said before, nursing is the most natural thing, but can be the hardest thing. And there's a hump. There's a hump that you have to get over, but it has to start in your mind, like most of the things we talk about, the belief that you can, and then the decision that you want to, but the support. And it's so, so unfortunate that so many women don't have the support and don't feel comfortable reaching out for the support, because it is an intimate thing. It's especially scary at first when you're not aware of how it works or
when
what's
you don't
happening.
Know what you're doing,
right?
And it seems,
and I mean, it is your boobs, and we live in a culture that's like, boobs are sexy and boobs are this, and boobs are sexy and boobs are everywhere, and you know, mm-hmm. boobs are also breastfeeding tools, you know, they're tools, and that's why we have boobs, is to feed our babies. But look, you can make your boobs look hot too. I do it all the time.
It seems there's a lot of support on the opposite end of the spectrum, saying there's a lot of people, even in the hospitals, how the nurses will say, it's okay if you can't breastfeed your baby because there is formula and there is these other options, which is great. Yet, are we educated enough in the hospital? Are women educated knowing the health benefits that it is going to give your baby, all of the nutrition that they need in the hospital? And this has to continue home. And I know for me, I just decided I was going to breastfeed. I had a very traumatic C-section with my daughter, and she was also taken from me the first hour that she was born. And the first thing I wanted to do, with oxygen and all the tubes and all of the things connected to me, I wanted to nurse my baby. And that was the very first thing I did. And my sister Jenny was right there with me. And along my breastfeeding journey, I never realized my right nipple was inverted. So my boob, you guys, every time I would nurse, it felt like a stinging sunburn being cut by razor blades.
Well, your nipple was like hanging there.
It was... It was so painful, you guys. Yeah. And I remember crying. And then I remember my guardian angel sister, Jenny, came to my house and she was like, whoosh, and she had this like kit of all of these things. She had the nipple cream and she had this thing to press my boobie out. And she had a cold pack and a hot pack. And she was so amazing. And another thing that it was just an innate thing. I came up with this little mantra I said to myself, or affirmations, and I would close my eyes and I would breathe and I would say, it gets better, it gets better, it gets better. And I would have to say that for about 2 minutes, and then it did, and then it got better. And all of the tools and the support, my sister sitting there with me with her babies, and it was incredible. And I don't know if I didn't have you, Jenny, that I couldn't have, I don't, mentally,
right, the
I had people, I worked in the hair industry and people were saying, oh, it's fine. You don't have to. Don't worry about it. There's formula.
Well, that's just
it's
the thing
fine.
Is you don't have to. And so it does have to turn to that mindset. It's actually kind of cool because for me, as I'm listening to you say that, I remember I also was in the hair industry. I remember before I was pregnant or had kids, I would talk to women about, oh, are you going to breastfeed or whatever? And I'd always say, no, I'm not into that.
Yeah,
those
gross.
Are my boobs. Yeah, yeah, I'm not. That's not my thing. And one of my very special closest friends, Shay, was an amazing example and model for me when it came to birth and breastfeeding. And it was this, she's this young woman, just like me, same age as me, who had all these crazy ideas about these natural ways to have babies and to feed your babies. And I was like, I kind of like these ideas.
Wait, this is something
and
new.
So I watched her about 12 months before I had my baby, 12 or 14 months, she had a baby and she had... She really took control and took responsibility for her body and her birth. And, of course, she learned some things from that first birth. She's now a mother to 5. Her youngest is 1. And she, you know, she fed that baby from her breast. And I remember seeing her and talking to her and hearing her perspective and why she was doing this. And it felt so right. Whereas to me, the other things didn't feel right. Mm. During my pregnancy, I was thinking, you know, that natural thing feels right to me. And that's just me, you know,
yeah.
And I luckily had her as an angel to see her and how she was doing things. But, you know, from there, it spurred this intense, like, passion, and it inspired me to want to share information that women don't always have, that's mm-hmm. not always close to home, that, you know, especially if you have people close to you that are telling you the opposite thing, it's probably going to be easier to go with that opposite thing and, again, feel enabled not to do it or not to question it anymore. But I, you know, again, am so grateful that I was able to get this new information. And it's funny to think that breastfeeding and this kind of more natural approach to pregnancy and mothering was new at 20, how old was I, 26 years old. How bizarre, huh?
And it's interesting, too, that I think our perception when we're trying something new that we might have this mindset that it's going to be easy. And it's not. Breastfeeding, at first, it's really hard. And I don't know how your nipples adjusted, but I'm sure it was hard.
Oh, it was hard.
It
was super
hurt.
Hard, yeah.
It hurts and it's painful. And even, so I have been nursing for 9 years straight and I breastfed through pregnancies and tandem nurse. And it was interesting because after, when I was first nursing June, who's now 9, and then I had Milo and he breastfed differently, and it was almost re-going through and re-getting new calluses on my
sure,
nipples.
Sure, yeah, their mouths are all different, yeah.
Yeah, and even with that journey, it was incredible. I had this client, and his sister had twin babies, and they were super early, premature, approximately 33 to 34 weeks, and he was sharing how they were in need of breast milk, and she didn't want to give them formula. And I have always had this abundance and I would say prosperity mindset when it came to milk, and I think that Jenny helped guide me on that path. And I never thought that I was going to run out of milk. And I know that being around other mommies, I know that I hear them saying, like, I never had enough milk and I had a supplement early on. I didn't allow that thought to even come into me. Like,
yeah.
It maybe
well,
came.
That's such a good point, because people, I mean, that is the norm, to hear people being afraid they're not going to be able to nourish their child.
Yes.
And so when that thought does creep in, your body listens. Your milk listens. I mean, this is a hormonal, emotional thing that's happening.
And with my abundant milk and my mindset, I felt compelled to help pump for these babies. And as I was tandem nursing, you guys, so nursing a toddler and nursing an infant, I also was able to pump for this wonderful friend and her babies, and it felt so right. And this was right along when I started my journey with illustrating, and I would sit and I would pump and I would draw pictures and color, and I would pump for most of the day, you guys. I spent a lot of time, but it felt right. And what I'm getting at here is my mind was in a place of, I'm going to do this and I'm helping, and I did, and it was amazing. I continued to pump for these babies for 3 solid months, and I would get anywhere from 8 ounces to 13 ounces. It was pretty crazy. And nurse my little guy, and off and on nurse my toddler. So it just goes to show that if your mind is in it and your heart is in it, that you can do whatever you want to do. Or if you have a lack of mindset, then that is what you're going to get.
Well, and I think too, an important piece is the why. Why are you doing it? And for me, my first child, it was, I wanted to do it because he was sick when he was born. And I mean, he was really sick, and he was, had a lot of scary things happen, like I already mentioned. And it was, we weren't allowed to touch him. We weren't allowed to talk to him. He had things, like unthinkable things happen to him. And I felt like if there was anything I could do, it would just be to love him and nurture him with my milk. And you know, I knew a little bit about breast milk, and that it was, you know, obviously your body makes it for a reason. And there's, you know, there's parts and pieces of the breast milk that are exactly right for the baby at the exact stages of their lives. And, you know, so for me, with him, the why started with just wanting to be his mom and just nurture him in that way, because I couldn't for so long. As my journey lengthened and I had more kids, and I'm, you know, find myself with a 7-month-old and pregnant, and, you know, knowing I'm going to be nursing 2 babies at the same time, I was really looking at, like, why do I want to nurse? And there's so many benefits of breast milk. I just wanted to read a little excerpt I took from the Mayo Clinic, because it matters, and it is good. If you can do it and you have an option, find the support and do it if you're able, because it is so good for our children. It offers balanced nutrition, so breast milk is considered the gold standard for infant nutrition. As your baby gets older, the composition of your breast milk will continue to change to meet his or her nutritional needs. So there's no known age at which breast milk is considered to become nutritionally insignificant for your child. And also, this has always been huge for me, is this boosted immunity. So as long as you breastfeed, the cells, hormones, and antibodies in your breast milk will continue to bolster your baby's immune system and protect from illness. So your baby is less likely, or your toddler is less likely and less prone to colds, ear infections, allergies, and other common ailments. Beyond those big things, there are so many uses for breast milk, and I have used them a million times, and I know you have too, Shelly.
For conjunctivitis, like pink eye and babies, which most babies get, and I know my babies broke out in like crazy baby acne, and I was thinking, what is wrong with my babies? And I would spray breast milk in their eyes, and lo and behold, in a few days, it would clear it up. And even still, if my kids get pink eye, I still will squirt them in the eye with some booby milk, you guys.
Yeah, the antibodies and the different types of infectious fighting properties of breast milk are amazing. So even if your child has like a skin irritation or rash, or like Shelly mentioned, babies often get conjunctivitis because their tear ducts are growing, and, you know,
an infection comes.
Yeah, they get clogged. And so these are really simple, natural ways to clear these things up on kids. And it's kind of cool to have a boob filled with this precious milk that can really help your children. Reasons that I breastfeed long-term go beyond these, even these health benefits. Like, there's such a huge aspect of bonding and independence. And that may sound weird to say, like, oh, your kid breastfeeds until they're 5, so you're saying they're more independent?
Yes, ma'am.
And I will tell you, yes, 100% my children, you know, and I will say, and this is funny, I'm going to put Shelly on the spot, because this was before she had kids of her own, or maybe June was just born, or you were right before you were pregnant with your first.
Yeah.
Kelton was 3. He was just turning 3. And I was being really pressured by Shelly and by my sister and some other people in my family to stop breastfeeding him. Isn't that interesting to think about?
And it all came from our mom. And I don't know why. It was this judgment that was ingrained within me. And I do remember you're talking about
our sister's wedding. Yeah. Had this little boy who was almost 3. He was a couple months from 3. And we had a really strong breastfeeding relationship. And I was getting all this pressure to stop nursing him. And I was like, I didn't want to stop nursing him. And I talked to him about it a lot, like, you're getting bigger, you know, you're past 2, we should, and he did not want to stop. And this little boy is my little boy that was sick, and he needed me.
Yeah.
And I did make him stop when he was 3. I totally made him stop when he was 3. And it wasn't for the right reasons. It wasn't because I wanted to or because he was ready. It was because I was listening to people around me. And I'm not saying, Shelley, I don't mean
that.
Oh, and
I apologize.
Yeah, yo.
I'm sorry.
And
it's
not,
interesting.
The bottom line is, it was my responsibility to make that choice for Kelton and I. And I made the choice to stop because I didn't know any better.
Well, and we understand now where that comes from, where there is this fear of women who continue to breastfeed past one because of there's so much judgment and there's so much criticism. I can, even when my kids were a little bit younger, I mean, Jack is now 5, so I don't breastfeed him in public because he's not 5. I keep saying he's 5, but he's only 4.
He's almost five.
Because of that fear of judgment. I can remember so many times, and it's so interesting, it always seems to be older people. And then I get this flashback to Gigi, our grandmother, saying that, and it's this judgment of people thinking that it's gross. And you just have to move past what other people think about you and know that what you're doing is right for you and for your baby.
Well, and that's what I was getting at, is that connection and that, you know, of course the nutritional things, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
You know, I was so happy to give my little kids, my toddlers, this really good nutrition that I knew they were getting no matter what, but also that comfort that, you know, I remember Finnegan, my 7-year-old now, when he was 2.5, he slipped and fell and he broke his nose, and it was horrific.
It was so terrible.
And I was so grateful to be able to nurse him. I mean, his face was complete, like he was pouring blood. His nose was swollen across his face. He was completely out of sorts, and I was able to breastfeed him and calm him down, and I was so grateful for it. And I mean, I have 100 stories like that with my boys, and maybe where it's like, it's just the right comfort. Like a booby can almost soothe everything.
Yes, a booby is the healing, healing portion of everything. And one thing that I want to touch on, well, a few things, is I can relate to a lot of mommies who want to stop breastfeeding. And research shows that a lot of mommies are stopping when their babies are approximately 6 months old. And we stop because we feel like our bodies aren't ours anymore. And we're just ready. We're ready to not have something clinging on us. And we're ready, and we don't feel like we have enough time. So we're ready to have our time back. And we understand this, you guys. We know that time constraints can be a huge factor. But when you put all that aside, this is the only time we ever get to nurse these babies. Like, I will never nurse these babies again.
I would go back and nurse Kelton longer.
Yes.
I seriously would. It's so weird to think that because, you know, but we live and we learn. But it is just that. And I, you know, sometimes I say the hard things, and I'm known for that with my family and friends. Sometimes I just bluntly say things. But the thing that I've learned that I will share out bluntly is it's our responsibility to be responsible for the choices we make, and we
in
get
every
to decide.
Aspect of life.
Yes, and if you're gonna be a parent, maybe be a parent to the 100% fullest you know you're capable of, and maybe that excludes things or includes things. But as long as you know you are doing the best you can as far as what you're capable of, then go for it. Reach for it, you know, and don't just be the person who says it's easier to stop.
Well, and it's always, easier to live
always,
in fear. You
well,
have
sure.
to get over that fear.
Well, and there's always something easier. There's always something easier, but is that always the gold? Is that always the good? Is that always the end result that you really, really want, that you would never change anything about it?
So and in like, the moment, yes, the easy thing, it pans out. And in retrospect, looking back, as you are with Kelton, it's thinking, oh, I don't want to have those regrets. I don't want to have to think that I wish I would have stopped thinking what my bitchy sisters or and my mom is saying to me about how gross it is to nurse my baby, because that's your connection.
Right. And that is. And that's what I mean about being responsible for your choices and not allowing other people to sway you in those choices. Like getting down deep and deciding like this feels right or this doesn't. Mm-hmm. Because I can tell you a million times in my life when I wasn't so strong and able to make decisions where I would have gone back in a heartbeat and changed what I've done. Which, I mean, again, there's lessons in life and I'm grateful for the lessons. But it's like I am responsible for what happens to my baby. It is my choice. You know, we don't always have to listen. You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to listen to Shelley. And, you know, again, I know that there are certain extenuating circumstances that cause women to make the decisions they make. One of our sisters, Amy, has a child who's now nearly 5, and she had a beautiful home birth. She had been inundated by people breastfeeding, all of her sisters, all of her nieces and nephews, and, she, you know, she's obviously going to nurse her baby. That's what she wanted. And her daughter ends up having something wrong where she literally couldn't nurse. And so Amy had to make the choice. I mean, the baby literally couldn't make a suction with her mouth. And so she had to come up with something new that was the best thing for her
and her baby. And she did. And she pumped and pumped. And her baby was a breastfed baby because she pumped all of the milk for her baby.
So, you know, she did do something different, which was to pump. And she pumped for a year, you guys. I don't know if any of you out there have ever pumped before, but pumping is not pleasant. Yeah. I pumped for, 2.5 months with Kelton, and it was hard. It was super hard. But she had the mindset to do it, and she also got crazy mastitis.
All the time.
A lot. It was very painful.
Ooh, you can hear about Finnegan, how he would help her. Oh,
it was actually, cool. It was really cool to have kids that were all young and all breastfeeding because Amy and I were neighbors at the time, and, you know, she's pumping, and so she would get crazy and gorged because she made a crazy amount of milk like
she
we did.
She was a milk maker.
And so my son, who at the time was three, I think, he was three, he would go and he would nurse his auntie's boobies to help her get rid of all the clogged ducts out and help her. And it's funny because that in itself people often think is so weird. Your son nursed your
it was so amazing,
sister, but it was like he always says he helped save his cousin's milk.
Yeah,
you know, he helped his auntie because she could have gotten mastitis. And you know, there is a difference between pumping and, you know, a baby suckling at breast. And so she rocked it out and freaking did the thing that not very many people can say they did. And to me, that is a good reason to stop breastfeeding after a year. A year is literally incredibly crazy for somebody to pump milk for a child. So that kudos to you, Amy.
Woo woo, sister.
But, you know, getting back to this, us nursing these toddlers and being able to long term, it's just been really, really amazing. And I do feel like my children have some added benefits because of my decision to allow them, you know. And it's not that we ever force our children to keep nursing. This is a very, it's something that's very natural. Like, it feels more natural just to let them nurse until they're ready. It has made weaning super easy with all of my kids. They just kind of stopped when they were ready.
Yeah, and it's communicating with them and saying, okay, so Jack is coming up on 5 and my husband keeps getting on his case. You're way too big to keep nursing, Jack. You need to stop. You need to man up. He'll say these silly things. And I always say to him, like I have said to him for the past 9 years, that's not up to you. That's up to us. And it's our relationship.
Right.
And then he backs off and he gets it.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. My husband.
You just have to stand up. It's just with
my
your
husband actually
choices.
Does not care at all. And it's so funny because even my big boys, not like I have 7, 9, and 11-year-old boys, and the 7 and 9-year-old will snuggle up at my chest and have boo-boo snuggles.
Mine
and
too.
I swear to God, Finnegan would nurse if I let him.
He's 7. Oh, yes. I squeeze milk into Milo and Jean's mouth. Yeah, sometimes.
And it's like that to them is comfort and coziness and bonding. And like,
safety.
However gross it sounds to whoever is out there, I will tell you,
gross.
It is beautiful, and I am so grateful for being able to have that.
And it is one of my favorite times. I know that when the day comes, I will be sad. Jack is so busy, and this is another great thing that helps with nursing toddlers is it helps them slow down because they're so busy and they're afraid they're going to miss something. So it helps them slow down and it helps them have time to just self-soothe. Maybe it's not so much self-soothing, but helping them just slow down and taking time. And we also found this lovely study, and it shows that children who breastfeed long-term get a brain boost, and that is a thanks to the omega-3 fatty acids and the DHA that are in our unique breast milk. And breastfeeding long-term is also linked to lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol, and it makes a child less likely to become obese, overweight, or develop type 2 diabetes,
which
is pretty incredible.
You can't beat that stuff. That's
no, and that's from the doctors, friends.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the other thing is you can't deny that there are really specific benefits. And it's like, I know that when I had younger kids, you know, I've always given my kids a wide array of foods. We're really thoughtful eaters. We do a lot of just real foods. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when little kids often veer toward becoming picky and wanting, you know, and when you know you're able to give these toddlers that maybe you have a really picky toddler, but if you're giving them breast milk, you know that they're getting all the valuable nutrition from your breast milk still, even at an age where food is kind of tricky, you know.
Yes.
So it
And another thing we wanted to bring up is, if you are a long-term nurser, how do you cope in these social criticism moments, in these moments of judgment? Judgment even from your family.
Don't give a
Yeah, don't no. care what other people think about you. Yeah. You have to do what is right for you. And whether or not you are the type to whip a boob out if you're in Target and have a toddler on the hip, or if you have to escape to the bathroom because you're having a severe anxiety attack about the judgment, what is it that we can do to help us cope better and help make this more normal? How do we normalize toddler nursing?
Well, I think that's kind of an open-ended question.
Right.
But I think just doing it, if you want to do it, knowing that it is
yourself.
Okay. Yeah, patting yourself on the back, being compassionate with your baby and yourself, and knowing that it's okay. You're not gross.
It's
you
not
love
gross.
Your baby. And, you know, if you don't want to do this, that's okay, too.
That's
like,
okay.
We are all totally able to do what we want to do and not feel judged, as long as we all give that same respect to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's important here. All of this just kind of swoops back around to that support factor and
yes.
feeling supported. If there's somewhere deep down in your heart, if you haven't done this, or if you wanted to and you didn't, knowing that there's always somebody
reach
that will
out.
Support you. Reach out to us. Reach out to us on Facebook through
yes.
our Hula Hope page or through our Life Loves You page.
And there's also support groups like the La Leche League, and there's different mommy groups. And you can meet, if you put it out there into the universe, you will meet like-minded people. If you share your story, and maybe there still is that little fear of judgment, you share, you will attract the right people, and you can form your own mommy group. And you can talk about nursing.
Oh my gosh, there's so many angles that could be taken here. If you were someone that didn't do this because of a lot of the reasons we described that maybe stopped me when Kelton was 3, or, you know,
inverted
you,
nipples.
You could all,
yes.
yeah, inverted nipples, all of the hard things that can
yes.
come. But we all know, like, being a mom can be really
challenging,
maybe the hardest
rewarding.
Thing ever. So rewarding. It's the whole complete realm of everything, good and bad. But if you didn't, and you're not going to have any more kids, don't beat yourself up.
No,
see what you can do
it.
Now.
Move
you
along.
Can be a beacon of light for people that want to, and
yes.
start your own support group, or do things that maybe help people feel loved, or spread the information, learn more about it. It's out there, you guys.
Yes, because the time is now. Like Jenny said, you can't live in the past. And if it's something that you are passionate about, you can still get out there, become a doula, a midwife.
You could even get your milk and pump it and donate it for babies that aren't getting
it's
milk.
So
there
amazing.
Are so many different things that we can do if you do feel a spark of passion for this. Or even just being a friend to a woman who's having a baby, whether or not you are like a master at breastfeeding, you never breastfed before, but patting a mother on the back and telling her she's doing
a good job.
Asking
simply
her what she
her.
Needs, making her feel normal and not feeling like she's doing something wrong. And also letting go of this, again, this like force in between bottle-fed babies and breastfed babies, and just loving all of our babies and all of our moms and women, and just really supporting them in whatever way feels good.
Yes, because we're all trying our best, and we're feeding our babies, and we're showing up as moms, and that's the best that we can do.
Yes. Well, before we get off here, I wanted to say, you know, there are definitely some downsides to this.
Yes.
And those downsides can, you know,
detour
there's
us.
They can detour us. They can make us feel awkward. They can make us feel like we're creepers. But know that if your heart is in the right place and your intentions are well, which of course they're always going to be with your babies, that you are doing such a good job, and
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever that means for you is the right thing. And know that we support you.
We do support you. We love you so much.
Thanks for joining us today. We will be back next week and can't wait to see you then.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. If you loved our show, head over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. Your comments mean the world to us. See you next time.